Money FM 89.3, the best of the afternoon update. Money in the Market on Money FM 89.3.
Welcome to Money in the Market. I'm Hong Bin Jung. The Federal Reserve maintained interest rates steady at its March meeting for the fifth time in a row last week. And policymakers also highlighted that plans to decrease rates may be delayed further, although they remain committed to three cuts this year. Now, stocks rose on the news, sending the S&P 500 above 5,200 points for the first time on the expectation that rate cuts would stay on the table. So what are the implications of the latest interest rate decision for investors? And furthermore, considering the recurrent postponement of rate cuts, is it fair to remain optimistic about a likely rate cut in June? Well, to find out more, joining us today is Gautam Chadha, who is the head of Investment and Portfolio Advisory Singapore at RBC Wealth Management Asia. Hi, Gautam. Thank you for joining me today.
Good afternoon, Hong Bin. Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for having me here.
Okay, Gautam, you know, now, as widely expected, the Fed did hold their rates steady, but something else went unchanged, which is the median projection for rate cuts this year. And policymakers, they still see three cuts this year. So what do you think prompted the Federal Reserve to, you know, retain its forecast for three rate cuts this year despite recent developments?
That's a really good question. And I think it really comes down to the fact that monetary policy levels are already extremely restrictive in the US. Mm. So the Fed funds target rate is currently, the upper bound is at 5.5%. And so in spite of the recent strength in economic data, the Fed will be patient because their view will be that actually given time, this restrictive interest rate policy will actually slow down inflation enough. The question will be how long will that take and when mm-hmm. do rate cuts come?
Okay, so in what ways do the inflation readings from January and February influence, you know, the Fed's outlook on achieving its 2% target?
The stickiness of the data in inflation data from January and February, but also some of the resilience in growth and labor market data has probably reduced the urgency mm-hmm. the Fed has to cut more aggressively in terms of rate cuts. Mm. But let's take it context. Just take one step back. When we look at the inflationary data, recently it's mm-hmm. been a bit mixed, but there's been significant progress from the worst part of the inflationary wave that we've been in, which peaked some 18 months ago at about 8 or 9%. And so progress has been made, mm-hmm. and we think the Fed will stay the course.
Okay, so do you think we can achieve the 2% target this year?
I think that's the question everybody's trying to answer. And I think that's the one. It will come down to data and it will come down to how data continues to come through. But what's really interesting is by not doing a change, interest mm-hmm. rates remain restrictive. Mm-hmm. The key question for the Fed will be, when do they start and how do they start to cut rates and what rate of rate cuts will they do, if you see what I mean?
Yeah.
And our view at RBC Wealth Management is that the first rate cut will come in June uh-huh. of 25 basis points with a total of three cuts in the year for 2024.
So you guys maintain that three rate cut projection for this year?
We do. And what's interesting is that we've had that view for some time. So mm-hmm. back in December, the markets were pricing in seven rate cuts for 2024. Which we thought was extremely exuberant and perhaps optimistic. And from our perspective, we thought that was a little bit too far. Mm-hmm. The market is now pricing in three rate cuts, as is the Fed, mm-hmm. and we're broadly aligned with that. So we think that it's probably fairly priced at this stage.
Okay. You know, now Fed officials' forecast for inflation, it moved up as well, and they now see more upside risks to those projections than before. So do you see more volatility in markets ahead? I mean, how should investors then position themselves to withstand market volatility?
So let me take that in two parts. The first part about positioning the mm-hmm. portfolio, because ultimately our view is it comes down to asset allocation and diversification. So risk-based portfolios are probably the best hedge clients have in terms of protecting their portfolios against volatility. Mm-hmm. We think that actually because the market's pricing the same number of rate cuts the Fed is expecting, broadly three, we think that actually there's reduced macroeconomic uncertainty. And so the market may grind higher here mm-hmm. from here onwards. However, we're seeing some elements within positioning and sentiment indicators that show the market becoming a bit extended. Mm. So we can't rule out some levels of volatility. So as a result of that, while we're neutral weight equities, for example, in our portfolios, we're not chasing the rally here by going overweight.
Okay.
And within equities, we're positioned much more defensively. So companies that have strong balance sheets, mm-hmm. low levels of leverage, are robust companies. So that's how we're positioning within portfolios to try mm-hmm. and protect against some unintended volatility.
Then other than equities, what other asset classes are you guys looking at?
So the two, I think, that stand out the most in this context of expectations of mm-hmm. rate cuts will be fixed income mm-hmm. and gold.
Okay.
So fixed income, we had been overweight for some time, but in February, we actually increased our overweight in fixed income across our client portfolios. Mm-hmm. And what we really like about fixed income is the decent yield or carry that we can achieve.
Mm-hmm.
We recognize that in some parts of the fixed income market, in terms of credit space, the credit spreads are a little bit tight
okay.
From valuation perspective, but we think we can navigate that with strong active management.
Mm.
But where we like in the duration is probably medium duration. Between 3 and 7 years on the curve is the space that we like.
Mm.
And we also prefer government bonds and treasuries, in which we're overweight within fixed income. So that's really outstanding asset class in an environment where rates cuts are expected.
Mm-hmm.
I think the other beneficiary will be gold. And I don't know if you remember, we spoke about it in December, just
yes.
before Christmas. But the drivers of gold that we discussed remain in place.
Okay.
And so it continues to be central bank buying, particularly emerging market central banks, as they try and diversify some of their US dollar holdings.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing geopolitical risks maybe gently increasing.
Yeah.
And so investors thinking about a safe haven flow and buying gold as a result of that.
Mm-hmm.
But also with equity markets, as you said, rallied, bond markets yep. have rallied. Actually, some element of portfolio hedging and a role for gold as well in portfolios. And we think those trends will be set to continue.
Okay. So given the Fed's commitment to meeting its 2% inflation target, right, how should investors then interpret this commitment in terms of long-term investment and portfolio diversification?
I think this is great. I mean, the long-term situation is very clouded. There are a number of outcomes available
yeah.
when we look ahead. When we think about the Fed, it has two real options, and this is really the policy risk element of uncertainty.
Mm-hmm.
One, they can think about cutting interest rates sooner,
mm-hmm.
But that means that actually inflation could recur, and we could have a secondary wave of inflation.
Mm.
Or the Fed can think about cutting rates too late, in which case they could slow the economy down too much, endangering the economy into a recession. And so that's really the balance that the Fed is trying to cope with.
Mm-hmm.
And because of the different outcomes associated with those,
mm-hmm.
the best way investors can position is, as I said, diversified portfolios based on the client's risk profiles and their risk appetite, and making sure that they're not in just one asset class. That would be the key.
I see. I mean, if we look at back in December or back in November, markets had fairly priced in a rate cut in March. That didn't happen, of course. And that expectation, dwindled down in the beginning of this year, and more market watchers, they expected a June rate cut, and still they expect this June rate cut, as do you. So how do the recent market movements with stocks and treasury bonds, skyrocketing, reflect investor expectations of possible interest rate reduction by the Federal Reserve beginning in June?
I think, as I said, because the market's today pricing in 3 rate cuts
yeah.
and the median dot plots in the Fed meeting mm-hmm. are also pricing in 3,
yeah.
markets are fairly aligned with where the Fed is at.
Okay.
So that's broadly priced in. But let me take you back to the second half of 2023.
Mm.
When we saw the performance of, for example, the S&P 500 index,
mm.
that was very highly correlated with the expectation of Fed rate cuts in mm-hmm. 2024. So as in the fourth quarter of 2023, as expectations got higher and higher about the number of Fed rate cuts,
mm-hmm.
markets rallied
yep.
exuberantly. But that correlation seemed to dislocate in mid-January
mm-hmm.
when we had earnings season in the U.S. And the earnings season in the U.S. was, broadly speaking, positive, both in terms of EPS beats and also revenue beats. And so we think that that's where the market continued from. And I think one of the key points we'll be looking at going forward is, we've got earnings season around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
How will the health of the U.S.
Right.
Corporate sector present itself?
Okay. And with the S&P 500 up 0.8% and approaching a historic closing high last week, how are investors assessing the possible impact of Fed rate cut on asset prices and market sentiment?
Yeah, I think this is the key point. I think it won't just be currently where they're priced,
mm-hmm.
which we've discussed. It will be what will be the changes going
okay.
forward. Will the Fed surprise
mm.
by cutting more aggressively? or cutting more slowly. And I think it's very difficult to tell at this stage. Investors, as well as the policymakers and ourselves, will be looking at data and data points to guide us as to how the economy is progressing from an inflation and growth perspective, and that will guide it. In the meantime, the key areas that we would position are our overweight in fixed income, our overweight in gold, and our neutral weight in equities, but defensively positioned. And that's probably the best way for us to play that unknown and uncertain outcome.
So are there any potential risks or uncertainties associated with the market optimistic outlook regarding the rate cuts? I mean, thinking at the top of my head, I feel like the delayed rate cuts, we've seen projections for March and then that went to April and then was it to May? And then it's in June. And, you know, some people even expect that rate cuts might not even come in June. They expect it to come in September. So is that the possible, you know, risks and uncertainties associated with this optimistic outlook? And how might these factors, you know, influence investor sentiment and portfolio strategies?
I think the recent meetings from the Fed were very telling on this point. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the key point that you're raising. Federal Reserve officials are clearly concerned about the upside to recent inflation data and perhaps surprised to some extent, but that hasn't warranted a significant reframing or a significant change in their monetary policy decisions. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the key interesting points was that when Chair Powell, he reiterated that policymakers, while they're concerned about higher rates, he's also concerned that higher rates could ultimately cause the economy to soften more than necessary. And if that's the case, we think at some point they're likely to err on the side of trying to keep the current economic expansion going rather than concerned about higher inflation data, simply because, as we said at the start of our discussion, the policy rates are already very restrictive in the US.
Right.
And they feel that the current high restrictive interest rates are doing the job on inflation.
Okay, so I saw a warning or a Fed policymaker, Rafael Bostic, he said last Friday that he expects one rate cut this year. So if that happens, what would happen to markets?
Yeah, so a lot of if else and if when. I think the key is that the Federal Reserve will be a committee-based vote, and the number of dots, each member of the FOMC has one dot on the dot plots. And so when we look at the medians or the averages, we're really looking at where is consensus for the committee as they're seeking to vote based on the data that they have today. So I think if we see fewer rate cuts than are priced in and higher restrictive monetary policy for longer, then there is a danger that the economy could slow down. And from that perspective, that may not be ideal necessary for risk assets. But a lot of that will depend on the reaction function. If they see the data in the economy slow down too fast, too soon, will the Fed come and cut rates more aggressively than anticipated? So I think there's a little bit of game theory or chicken and egg going on here. But I think the key point will be to monitor the data, understand what's happening in the economy, but also just remain prudently positioned in high quality investments over the long term.
All these uncertainties are creating the if and when theme of this year in markets. But are there any industries or asset classes, you know, which are most impacted by this rate cut? And how are investors, you know, positioning themselves to profit from these expected market shifts?
I think the biggest one that we've seen in our business at RBC Wealth Management has been clients who've been in cash deposits are actually rotating out and going into fixed income asset classes. Now, it changes their risk profile to some extent, so the discussion around which risk are they comfortable with. But locking in a 12-month deposit rate today, if rate cuts do come, you may not be able to reinvest at the same rate in 12 months' time. Whereas if you invest in a fixed income security of some type and have a 3 or 4 years investment duration, you're effectively locking in higher rates for longer.
Right.
And so we're seeing the big trend has been clients moving actually into fixed income much more, which is also aligned to our overweight positioning in portfolios as well.
Okay. And looking ahead then, what long-term implications could Federal Reserve interest rate cuts have on economic growth, inflation expectations, and asset price dynamics? And how are investors preparing for these potential outcomes?
Yeah, And a very similar message to what we've been discussing. It's really down to the perspective of, will they cut too soon and let inflation rear up?
If and when.
Or do they cut too late and let the economy roll over? Our view is that probably on balance, they'll try and keep the economic expansion going for some time. But clearly, monetary policy is one tool that impacts asset prices. But we've got earnings season around the corner. There are a number of other risks on the horizon as well, geopolitical, a number of elections this year. So a lot to be thought about and priced in terms of the impact on asset classes over the year.
I see. Well, thank you so much, Gautam, for your time and your insights today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Gautam Chadha, who is the head of investment and portfolio advisory Singapore at RBC Wealth Management Asia. I'm Hong Bin Jung, and this has been Money in the Market. Stay with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.